Greetings! Greetings once again! That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And so I'm going to begin on Karg Island out in Iran because of the war and all that. The war's big news. I was not aware that the oil production facilities on Karg Island off the coast of Iran there, they were built by American oil companies back in the 50s, and they were seized by the communist Islamist criminal gang that seized Iran in 1979. And so for everyone out there who it's become fashionable. It's actually become fashionable since October 7th, 2022 to be anti-Zionist. You know, the reason all those Jews got their throats cut on October 7th is because they just demand to be there in the land there. So it's become quite fashionable. And it's become quite fashionable as of late to say that the reason we're at war in Iran is because of the Jews. The Zionists. Although if you talk about the Zionists and you say the Jews more than once, I just suspect you're anti-Semitic. That's all. And I might be wrong, but I'm still going to go with my gut on that one. The Muslims are Mohammedan pirates, a criminal gang, highwaymen. And that's why Muslims, by the way, they were not allowed to come here back in the day. Back before we became all nice. Because back in the day, even nominal Christians knew that Islamists, Muslims, they were just pirates and criminals dressed up in a religion. Everybody knew that. And that's not what Judaism is. Judaism is a misguided religion who missed their Messiah. Well, they crucified their Messiah, and they missed their Messiah. And they need the salvation of Jesus Christ just like every other sinner. But Judaism is just a genuinely misguided religion. Whereas Islam is piracy and criminal maniacs dressed up in religion. And we all knew that, and we've all forgotten that, and so forgive me, but I think the reason we are at war in Iran is because of the 1,400 years of conquest, murder, and oppression that the Islamic regime there has sworn to continue. That's why we're at war in Iran. And they seized Karg Island, and they took our hostages, and they've been killing our guys for 40 years. Forget the Zionists. Anyway, all you Christians getting carried away into the political debate over who controls America. Who controls America? Is it us or the Jews? You're missing the fact that it's wicked men that run both countries. And Iran, by the way. It's all run by wicked men who are either knowingly or unwittingly serving Satan. That's who runs America and Israel and Iran and the whole world. So, which, by the way, the whole world is not our home. Our citizenship is elsewhere. So don't get caught up in and distracted by all of this. All right. But, you know, there is a war going on. And when bombs are dropping and people are getting blown up, it can be distracting. Now, let's get to another war, the war on poverty. So whenever a government declares a war on something that's not really a war and that they don't actually declare war, but it sure looks like a war, you be suspicious or at least be skeptical and somewhat pessimistic about the outcome. I've got to tell you, folks, I am not very impressed with how Donald J. Trump is carrying this whole thing off. I am losing confidence that there will be a good end to all this because he absolutely doesn't know what he's doing. He's a child. He's a child, a petulant rich kid having been turned loose on the real world. And that's dangerous. But let's go back to another petulant rich kid, Lyndon B. Johnson, and his war on poverty. So Donald Trump has something that looks a lot like a war in Iran, but it's not a war, or it hasn't been declared as a war, which, by the way, I haven't read all the details because it's early, but Tucker Carlson is afraid that he's about to be arrested for cavorting with the enemy, and I don't know what contacts Tucker has had with Iranians since hostilities commenced. But Tucker Carlson is another petulant rich kid child who's been turned loose in the real world, who, if he's been texting with Iranians in the government of Iran since hostilities commenced, he obviously doesn't understand reality. And yes, that will get you arrested when hostilities have commenced. So I wouldn't be communicating with the enemy government while the bombs are dropping, Tucker. Freedom of the press is one thing. Freedom of conscience is one thing. But there's a war on. But here's the thing. You don't declare a war. Nobody's quite sure that it is a war. And Tucker Carlson doesn't know that he's not supposed to be exchanging texts with the Ayatollah's press minister. But trust me, Tucker, you're not supposed to. Okay. Now, back to Lyndon Johnson and the war on poverty and the fact that it wasn't really a war. The war on poverty, the war on drugs. What does the Kennedy maniac have going? A war on, what's he got? A war on FD&C yellow number 7 or something? Anyway, they're not real wars. I mean, what's happening in Iran, that's a real war. Even though it hasn't been declared as a real war, trust me, it's a real war. But the war on poverty was not a real war, but we had it. And now we have a report from the Captain Obvious file, the headline over at the Daily Signal. Get this, the war on poverty may have created a permanent underclass. No way. And there was a study, there's been a study that establishes data that indicates it's possible that what the Democrats really wanted to do in the 60s was create a permanent underclass that would vote for them forever because they were dependent on the government for welfare. At which point, every thinking human being above the age of 22 said, no kidding, that's what they wanted to do. They're Democrats. They're socialists. They're godless hedonists. They're absolutely voracious for power and nothing but political power and money and lording it over other people. So that's what they did in 1964 with the war on poverty. It's not they may have created an underclass. That's what they were doing. Anyway, the Daily Signal reports that the war on poverty launched by Lyndon Johnson has expanded into a vast array of welfare programs. No way. Who'd have ever thought that was going to happen? What about everybody who was screaming at Lyndon Johnson as a communist in 1964? Which is everyone who had half a brain knew exactly what Johnson was doing. I'm sure my dad was throwing things at the television when they were talking about the war on poverty. I can guarantee you. He signed it. He called it the economic. Listen to this. When Lyndon Johnson signed into law the act that declared war on poverty, it was called the Economic Opportunity Act, which they may as well have named that in the Politburo in the Soviet Union. This is the Economic Opportunity Act, the opportunity for a permanent underclass to vote for us forever, because we will pull the strings on their food and water and beverages and entertainment and give them EBT cards. Well, they didn't have EBT cards back in the 60s, but they have them now. Yeah. Let's see. Listen to what Lyndon Johnson said with a straight face as he signed the Economic Opportunity Act. He said, quote, "This is not in any sense a cynical proposal to exploit the poor."
That sounds like a Hillary.
This is what he said. Yeah, that sounds like Hillary in front of a Southern audience. "This is not in any sense a cynical proposal to exploit the poor." P-O-O-O, poor. So whenever a politician says, "This is not in any sense," stop right there, because it means that it's exactly what the opposite of what he's about to say. Why? Because he added the extra word, the tell there. He could have just said, "This is not a proposal to exploit the poor." That's what he could have said. Why would he have said that? Because that's what everyone was accusing him of doing, because anyone who was paying attention knew exactly what he was doing. But he didn't say, "This is not a proposal to exploit the poor." He said, "This is not in any way a cynical proposal to exploit the poor." So that was Lyndon Johnson's way of not lying, or at least convincing himself that he was not lying. Because he knew it was a proposal to exploit the poor, but he convinced himself that it was not in any sense cynical. And so he moved himself one degree away from the lie, which is enough for him to, yeah, because he's a communist, evil, satanic. All right. Now, he went on to say that it was a means to help our people. Yeah, which we had already established that we needed to be expecting. And in interpreting the opposite of whatever Lyndon Johnson was saying at the time. Now, we have a report. There was a report done in February by Tyler Terman, the Daily Economy analyst. Okay. Based on Congressional Budget Office data, as if we need all it. Do we need Congressional Budget Office data to establish that there's a permanent underclass? Huh? Have you visited Baltimore lately, or Boston, or New York, or San Francisco, or LA, or just go anywhere? Go to the trailer parks of Mobile, Alabama. There's a permanent underclass that's funded by welfare. Duh. Okay. But they did a report and a study, and they got the data, and they say that more of the poor are now dependent on government assistance than at any point in our country's history. No kidding. Did you need to do a study? So for the first 150 years, nobody was dependent on government assistance, because there was no government assistance. And by the way, it's not government assistance. It's welfare. It's socialism. It's satanic. It's the way fake, phony, Christian communist maniac dictators conquer and pillage, as opposed to how the Muslims do it. Now, the Muslims, they just blow you up, cut your throat, set things on fire, burn your town down, and enslave everyone. Whereas the fat, white, soft, phony Texas Methodist communist, he comes in slow, and before long, he's got you and your children and your grandchildren dependent on him for everything, and they all work for the devil. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Did you know that the B in Lyndon B. Johnson stood for Nimrod? I didn't know that, but it does. Do you get the joke? If you don't get the joke, you got to read your Bible. That's a biblical joke. We do biblical jokes here. We also do some racial jokes. Sometimes. I did a racial joke on Facebook. No, someone else quoted a black guy doing a joke about black people, and I posted, do we have to only quote a black guy making a joke about black people, or are we allowed to make jokes about other races? Because it seems to me, back when we used to laugh and make fun of each other over our cultural oddities and peculiarities, when we used to be able to laugh at each other about that, we seem to have gotten along better, but maybe not. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's better that everybody's extremely uptight about melanin content in the other guy's skin, to where there's certain things you just don't say. Oh yeah, that's a much better way to live. All right. Anyway, he posted a joke by a black guy about black guys. I posted my comment. He said, yeah, if anyone calls me racist, I just tell them, hey, I'm quoting Dave Chappelle. And I said, yeah, well, if anyone accuses me of being racist, I just tell them, yeah, I'm racist. You can ask my Japanese wife and my half-breed kids what a racist I am. All right. Now, we go to the Oscars. Well, we're not at the Oscars, but the Oscars are today. Did you know that, he asked. His extremely attractive audience. She was on the edge of her seat, just waiting. She had followed all the balloting. She had her favorites. She was ready. And then there's the threat of a credible threat of a drone attack against the Oscars from Iran. Now, not actually from Iran, because it would be hard to get drones from Iran over the Oscars in Los Angeles. But there are credible reports with the FBI that Iran may have suicide drones staged either in Mexico or in a vessel somewhere off the coast of Los Angeles, waiting to strike the Oscars with a suicide drone. That's right. We have the story from ABC News, comes to us from our long-suffering file. As of February 2026, Iran has aspired to conduct a surprise attack on California. In response to the alert from the FBI, the executive producer of the Oscars, Raj Kapoor. You can't make that up. So it's so hilarious that all the actors in Hollywood are freaking out because they're about to be replaced by AI, because AI can do exactly what they do without all the ego and the drama, right? And for like no money. You know, kind of like Raj here came in from India. Uh-huh. Raj says, oh, we want everybody who's coming to the show, everybody who witnesses the show, to feel safe. It's something that we take a lot of responsibility for. I mean, not all responsibility, but we take a lot of the responsibility. Now, if something happens, of course, we're going to blame the government and the police. But we take a lot of responsibility for the safety and feeling of safety for everyone. Says Raj. Anyway. So, we're recording the show before the Oscars, so we don't... If the Oscars are not being bombed tonight, It's not due to Raj's plan. I can assure you it's a combination of God's mercy and the inherent ineptitude of socialist tyrants. They couldn't get a drone together that would get the job done because they're a bunch of socialist tyrants. That's the one saving grace of free people is, of course, God's grace first, of course. But the ineptitude of socialist tyrants is the only reason we haven't been conquered by them. They're obviously way more motivated than we are. They're diehard true believers and fanatics. But they're a bunch of thieves and they rob each other blind, and thankfully they can't get their act together. Speaking of not getting your act together, we go to the vulgar display file where we have a report from News Nation, if you can believe that we have a thing called News Nation. Didn't they get the memo that the whole nation thing went out of style like 10 years ago? Right? Wasn't there this nation and that nation? Do you remember that? So anyway, I thought that was all over, and then News Nation comes along as if it's not over. But there you have it. And I'm doing a story from them, so I guess it's not over. Anyway, this is from the Vulgar Display File. UFC fighters headed to Quantico over the weekend to lead a training seminar for FBI agents and FBI Academy students. That's right, UFC fighters. The seminar, according to News Nation, the seminar will focus on mixed martial arts techniques, defense training, comparing tattoos, and a special workshop on the proper use of profanity in public, especially while making arrests. The UFC will be. And did you hear that the President of the United States is going to host a UFC fight at the White House for America's 250th birthday celebration? Tell me the end is not near. And the Republicans are frothing at the mouth over it. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing. It's defiling. Ugh. Ugh. It's no wonder Islam attracts the hearts and minds of young people who have some respect for purity and dignity. As embarrassing as it's gotten in the West with your UFC and the tattoos and the just disgusting. All right. Meanwhile, speaking of all that, let's go to TikTok. Speaking of defilement and impurity, We go to TikTok where if this is from the Mega Trump Socialism File. I'm sorry, MAGA. MAGA. Is it MAGA? Do you pronounce it or is it MAGA? I think it's MAGA because he's from New York. So MAGA would be if he was from LA because he would have like some Mexican influence, some Spanish influence. It'd be MAGA. But from New York, it's MAGA. It's very white. Anglo-Saxon Protestant American, MAGA. MAGA Trump Socialism File. The Trump administration, I don't quite understand how this is. The Trump administration is set to receive a $10 billion fee from investors in the recently completed deal to take over TikTok. Donald Trump and his minions there helped set up what they call a U.S. entity that partnered with ByteDance, the communist Chinese criminal operation that runs TikTok. And this American entity, they made a deal, and now TikTok still exists, whereas it was about to be not existing. It was all fake anyway. It was all about ungodly American politicians with a voracious appetite for power, noticing that their communist counterparts in China had come up with something better to control the minds of people. And then the voracious American socialists, led by Donald Trump, got in on that deal. And now the Trump, I don't know who's getting the $10 billion fee. It says the Trump administration, but this is from some leftist organization. So I don't know. Does that mean the Treasury Department's getting it? I don't know. It just means that Donald Trump has officially involved you and me and America and mom and apple pie and everything good that we thought America was. He's involved us in saving TikTok, which means partnering with the Chinese communists to mold and manipulate the minds of people through a fundamentally ungodly, wicked algorithm designed to addict people to entertaining themselves to death. That's what TikTok is. It's an algorithm designed to get children especially to entertain themselves to death. And you and I are now involved in preserving that. And executing it upon the minds of our children and grandchildren. But hey, we're going to get $10 billion for it. It's good money, huh? Come on. As part of the agreement, ByteDance licensed its popular algorithm to the new American Trump MAGA venture, whatever that, that's you and me. So it could be fully trained on Americans. So the TikTok algorithm will now be allowed to be fully trained on American behavior to addict your children to entertaining themselves to death. That's right. Donald J. Trump has America invested now in entertaining our children to death. And did I say there's good money in it? No, that's what Don said. It's not good money. So what it is a lot of money, which Donald Trump, if he considers that good money. But a lot of money is not necessarily good money. In fact, a lot of money is almost always never good money. But a lot is how people like Donald J. Trump judge good. Because Donald J. Trump is a godless socialist Democrat from the 1980s. In case you haven't noticed, I noticed. Yeah. I didn't put the MAGA hat on backwards. I didn't get the tattoo. I don't have the t-shirt. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, we go from Donald J. Trump to another Democrat. Gavin Newsom. It's reason number 2024 to get or keep your children out of the government schools is because Gavin Newsom's wife has something to do with the government schools, and she's a pervert, child molester. Whoa, wait a minute, Doug. You can't say that about the governor's wife. That might be slanderous. And isn't it disrespectful of governing officials? Well, you know, I'm in my Bible study on Timothy, and I came to a section where, well, if you tune into the Bible study this Wednesday night, or after I get it up on YouTube or whatever on Thursday, check it out, because there's a real tough one in there about criticizing the government. And so calling the governor's wife a pervert child molester, that could border on, well, not border on, that could count as name-calling against the government, which Paul advises against. You're not supposed to revile your ungodly masters. I'll get into it in my Timothy Bible study. It's tough. But here's the thing about Gavin Newsom's wife. First of all, she's not a governing official. Second of all, she's a child molesting pervert. How do we know? Well, because she has a company that makes films about gender ideology. Gender ideology. And then she licenses those films to be shown in schools with little kids. In fact, her husband, the governor of California, he recommends... let's see, not him personally, of course, but let's see, the who is it in the state? Since Gavin Newsom became governor, California's Board of Education and their Department of Education officially recommend the films that his wife's company makes on gender ideology for grade school kids. So let me just step back from the larger issue of the molestation of children in the government schools. And just to make a note that only in the government, and especially in the government of California, would you have a Board of Education and a Department of Education. Two bureaucracies that basically are tasked with the exact same thing so that you can hire as many relatives and illegitimate nephews of donors as humanly possible while paying your wife $3 million to pump pornography into the government schools and molest the minds of children. And that is the bigger issue, by the way. The money, the $3 million that his wife made, that's the least of the harm. But the source of the story here is redstate.com. And redstate.com is a godless, immoral batch of heathens who only really get offended by the money. I mean, they'll pretend they're offended by the fact that here we've got a bunch of adults who want to talk about gender ideology with children. So they'll pretend that that upsets them. But they're afraid to actually say what should be said, which is any adult who wants to discuss gender ideology or gender roles with children should be arrested. That's a criminal act. The desire to discuss that with children is a criminal act if you confess that desire. Yeah. So the governor of California and his wife should be arrested because they're child molesting perverts. And that's not name calling. Watch the movies they make. They've made the confession themselves. But we're not allowed to say that in a pleasant company. We're not allowed to say that in a civilized company, is what we've been told. But there's a big difference in reviling and just calling a spade a spade. It's the Weekly Worldview. Yeah, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. So we don't revile our governing officials. But neither did John the Baptist revile Herod when he called him out for his version of what Gavin Newsom and his wife are up to right now. So anyway, tune into the Timothy Bible study, though, because we have to figure out how to walk that line, right? All right, now, back to the news of the day, the news of the week, I suppose. The news of the century, actually, coming out of England. This is from the formerly Great Britain file. That's right. Over in England, the Bank of England says that the governing officials they're now prepared to and are getting set to remove historical figures from the currency printed by the Bank of England. And they're going to replace the faces of historical figures with non-offensive wildlife. So you may not get the implication right off the bat, but the implication is that historical figures from England's history are offensive. That's what that means. That the Bank of England, the perverts running the Bank of England think that the historical figures that made England are offensive. The figures to be stripped from the banknotes? Huh? A bunch of people I never heard of and don't care about. But then Winston Churchill. Yes. Winston Churchill, they're going to take Winston Churchill's face off of whatever it's on. I have no idea. And so, do you remember the Bible? They asked Jesus if they should pay taxes. And he said, give me a coin. And they gave him a coin. And he said, whose face is on the coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. Anyway, he didn't criticize or have a problem with the fact that the government's minted currency with the face of the governing officials. It's not like he said that's evil. In fact, he seemed to understand the logic behind it because of, I don't know, a couple thousand years of human history. And so anyway, they'll give the money to the fish and the storks. The herons, the smelt. Yeah, I don't know what they'll put on the British money, but they're taking Winston Churchill's face off. Why? Because it offends the Muslims. And nobody wants to say that, but that's why. And the people in the soft, pasty white people in England, they're afraid of having their heads chopped off by the Muslims who live down the street. That's actually what's happening in England and all over Europe, frankly. They're afraid of getting their heads chopped off. And so they're going to do everything they can to not offend the Muslims until they tempt the Muslims enough to send the Muslims into a frenzy and they just chop everybody's heads off. But while the Europeans are having their heads chopped off, they will be as non-offensive as possible. A quote, we have a quote from the Bank of England. They don't even say who it is. It's just, nobody cares. His name will never be remembered. His face will never be on anything. But he said that the new images for the banknote must not be divisive. And the theme should not involve imagery that would reasonably be offensive to exclude any groups or to exclude any groups, including the people who have their heads chopped off. We don't want to offend them, and we don't want to offend anyone doing the chopping. So anyway, in response to all this, somebody posted a quote from Winston Churchill's book. Winston Churchill wrote a book, I think he was like 25 or 30 years old. He wrote a book called The River War in 1899. And he wrote in there words to the effect of, Winston Churchill wrote, before he, as a relatively young man, but he was a student of history, he wrote, If not for Christianity, Mohammedism would have surely conquered Europe just as certainly as it has Africa. Words to that effect. And even with that sort of accent, that almost. He wrote that in his book, The River War, in 1899. And here's the thing. Now, so Winston said, if not for Christianity, and now there's no Christianity in Europe. So we get to actually see what Winston Churchill, he only postulated as a potential theory. Well, now we get to see in reality what happens when there is no Christianity to restrain Islam in Europe. And I can assure you it's going to involve, well, just exactly what has been involved in Muslim conquest for 1,400 years is the mass murder and enslavement of everyone, which is why we bombed Iran. It's not the Zionists. We just happen to be on the same side as the Zionists. But forgive me if in a secular sense, I'm going to side with the guys who want to live in Israel for the last 150 years rather than the people who've been murdering, raping, and killing everyone for 1,400 years. Yeah, I'm going to side with the guys who are against those guys. So I know that their lust for land and power in Palestine is insatiable, and I know all that, and they run Hollywood, and they run all the banks, and they run our American foreign policy. I know they're all satanic, just like the American government, just like Gavin Newsom and his wife serve the devil. I know all of that. But if I have to take sides while the bombs are dropping and I have to think about whose grandchildren are going to be raped and murdered and set on fire and have their heads chopped off, I probably just side with the more benevolent secular side of the argument. But and so if you don't, and if this Iranian adventure has you angry at the Jews or the Zionists or the Israeli state, forgive me if I just assume that you're anti-Semitic. Forgive me. If I'm wrong, I apologize in advance, but I assume that you're anti-Semitic. That's all. Which, are you even allowed to say anyone's anti-Semitic anymore? By saying that I suspect someone else is anti-Semitic, I think that makes me a Jew. Or maybe I'm in the pocket of the Zionists. So maybe I'm a Zionist and I don't even know it. All right. Let's go to, now speaking of the Zionists and their insatiable lust for money, let's go to Iran and check in with the Ayatollah Khamenei's son, who we find out purchased here? A luxury home in London. So the son of the Ayatollah Khamenei is allowed to buy a house in London. Now, forgive me for being sane, but if I were running America, I would make it illegal for any Muslim to buy any house in America ever. And you wouldn't even be allowed to come here. But you certainly wouldn't be allowed to hide the wealth that you've stolen from the people that you've murdered and enslaved. You certainly wouldn't be allowed to do that. But he is allowed to do that in England. Why? Because the English are obviously suicidal. Anyone who lets murderous maniacs into your country en masse, you're obviously suicidal. Because no one's that stupid. You have to be intentionally pursuing your own evisceration and death, which is just bizarre, but it's right on track for godless heathens. Without God, people eventually want to kill themselves. Well, they want to kill other people first, and they want to take all their stuff, and when they find out that doesn't satisfy them, they want to kill themselves. And that's, Islam is just a fast track to all of that. Let's get back here. Khamenei, the son of the Ayatollah Khamenei, he purchased a 36 million pound flat in London. That's about $50 million. The loans, by the way, were made to him by a couple of Israeli brothers, Saul and Eddie, who run Topland Loans for Muslim maniacs. I'm telling you, they're all... So those of you who think the Zionists are any more evil than the CIA or the guys running London or the Ayatollah Khamenei and his kids, they're all under the influence of Satan and they're evil. And they need to hear the gospel, and that's the only thing that's going to pull any of us back from sure destruction. And embarrassment, by the way, on the way, is the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what all these people need. You guys can argue about who controls what, and I can tell you who's in control just based on this. A couple of Jews loaned the Ayatollah Khamenei's kids $50 million. So that he can buy a house with the money from all the Jews and the Christians and everyone else they've murdered and enslaved. Tell me they're not all under Satan's influence. The house there, the $50 million flat there in London, it's part of a $3 billion financial empire held by the younger Khamenei son. So the Ayatollah obviously been to a couple workshops with the Pelosis. Took some classes on how to come to do good and do very well indeed. Woo! It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. So, yeah, tune into the Bible study this week because we're also going to talk about the verse in the Bible that says the love of money is the root of all evil. So the average heathen, you know, like, I forget who wrote that song. Somebody wrote that song for a black chick back in the 60s. That was a cover from the 80s, but the it's called The Love of Money. For the love of money, the root of all evil. So she got the line, whoever wrote the song got the line from the original Bible, the original English Bible, not all the gay versions, like the one you probably use. You need to stop with that. Quit using a gay version of the Bible. Use the real Bible. I like a Bible where a man pisseth against the wall, thank you very much. And where money is the root of all evil, not a root of all kinds of evils or something like that. No, money is the root of all evil, and there's a reason the Bible says it that way. All right, so tune in, because it'll be worth it, okay? I can't remember who recorded that song first. Are you looking it up for me? He asked. He's extremely attractive. The OJs. Yeah. I knew it was a black chick. They had a black chick singing in that band.
Is it girl?
Yeah. I think it wasn't just the OJs. Someone else did that. Anyway, that's okay. Let's go. Didn't Aretha do that song? No.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody covered that one. Come on. All right. Now we get to, speaking of Satanism and satanic influence, the Forbes list
OJ's
has name. It just says the OJs, huh?
No.
There's definitely a black chick who did that song. All right, let's not argue about that. Let's get to the Forbes list, which itself is satanic. Just everyone involved in Forbes is. So, but they have a billionaires list that they release every year. Why? Because people are obsessed with bragging about how much money other people have, which is weird, right? Isn't that like a sign of the fallen state of human nature that we get some fleshly titillation about pondering how rich somebody else is? Tell me we're not all fallen. Anyway, they say Elon Musk is the richest person ever recorded. It's like, what? Is that their way of saying that they actually don't know who the richest person ever was, but they're going to say it's the richest person recorded, which is like, what do you mean? Does that mean he left a voicemail somewhere and his voice has been recorded and there's been other rich guys who weren't recorded? Anyway, the fact is, real wealth can be measured by the ability of a person to enforce his will in the world whenever and wherever he wants. And so by that measure, Elon Musk isn't all that rich. Solomon was the richest man ever to live on the planet. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he was. And he could enforce his will on the earth in any area where he wanted to at will at any moment. That's wealth. Elon Musk just has a lot of money. And most of it is by, you know, I'm sure he's avaricious and greedy, but he's also hardworking. Sure, he's got to work, good work ethic, gets up early, works late. Doesn't get distracted by the wife and kids, or the other 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 wife and kids. He barely knows any of them because, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. Because, you know, I mean, anyway, let's leave Elon Musk aside. The folks at Forbes can assume that he's the richest person they've ever recorded. But there is another person recorded in the Bible who was richer than Elon Musk. His name was Solomon, and nobody will ever top him. Except Jesus Christ, when he comes and sets up his kingdom, he'll be the wealthiest man to have ever walked the planet. Now, meanwhile, speaking of Jesus Christ, let's check in with Gwen Stefani and the Bad Religion File. Whenever I see Gwen Stefani's name, I'm always reminded of a time in my life. I'm not sure exactly when it would have been. It would have been the early 2000s, somewhere between 2007 and 2010, when a friend of mine said, "We're going to the Gwen Stefani concert." At which point I said, "Who is that?" And he said, "You know, the singer from No Doubt."
Again.
And I was just like, okay. I was clueless. That was the point where I realized I was all grown up and maybe I'm old. Because I didn't know who either one of them were. Although when he did play the song, I did recognize it. And I thought that was a pretty good guitar lick. Yeah, but that was a pretty good guitar lick. That's all. And I think that was her husband at the time. I don't know. Anyway, Gwen Stefani says, according to the headline in Breitbart, she became a, quote, real Christian, unquote, after a miracle pregnancy at the age of 44. That's right. She wasn't a real, here's the thing. She was a Christian before, but after that, she was a real Christian.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's, well, let's just check in with Gwen. She says, "I was desperate." So why did she say that? Who did she say that to? She said that in an interview on a recent appearance on Hallo Prayer and Meditation, which is part of the Hallo app that prays for you. So if you're Catholic and you know that you need to get all those prayers in, there's an app that you can set up. Yeah, it sends an electrical shock through your, I don't know, to remind you that it's time to pray. I'm not sure exactly what it's all about, but I do know what Catholicism is all about. And I'm going to prove it with this story. Stefani recalled, "I was desperate. I wanted another baby and I couldn't have one because I was old," she says in the interview. "But then my son, who was 7 or 8 years old at the time, began praying, 'Please, God, let my mom have a baby.'"
Really?
"She claims he was doing it every night."
Really?
Really? Come on now. "4 weeks later, I was pregnant,"
wow,
says Gwen. Now, she does not imply that it was an immaculate conception or anything. It was a miracle. Not that much, though.
Okay.
I mean, I know she's Catholic and all, but... And she says that was just the first miracle. After being told... then she doesn't go on to say what the... Oh, the other miracle was her becoming a real Christian. Uh-huh. After being asked in the interview if she... ran to God. So the interviewer actually said, "You can run from God or you can run to God in that situation." It's like, what situation? Getting pregnant? I mean, it's not like she was a teenage mom. I mean, she was a 45-year-old married woman. Well, and he asked her, "Did you run to God?" She said, "I did run to God. Well, I mean, I wasn't built to do that. I didn't know. I don't know. I was ignorant. Like, I didn't, and I still don't know enough. And it's almost, like, scary because the more you know, the more fear you get because you realize, like, oh, my gosh, I'm running out of time. Like, I need to get this together. I gotta be a real Christian. I'm not gonna make it. The narrow door and all of that."
It sounds like
what am
she
I doing?
Was chased by like a murderer or something.
That's Catholicism, right? They capture you. Once you've got enough money that they actually care that you exist, the Catholic Church captures you, if they haven't done it as a child, which is what they really like to do. They capture you, and then they convince you that you need to, you better do something. The narrow door is going to close on you. And the first thing you can do is start giving money to the Catholic Church. All right. It's very sad. Gwen Stefani, first of all, your pregnancy wasn't a miracle. Second of all, I don't believe that your 8-year-old prayed for you every night. I'm sorry. Color me skeptical. God bless your 8-year-old. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. I don't believe that he prayed for you every night. All right. Anyway. So Gwen Stefani, like most of us, developed a need for God due to worldly wants and desires. Like for me, when I was a little kid, I heard about hell, with the fire and the pain and the suffering and the misery, and I was terrified. I didn't want to go. So I developed a need for God, kind of like Gwen. I had worldly things that I could relate to that made me want to reach for some spiritual solution to all the chaos. And I didn't want to burn in hell. Gwen Stefani, she realizes that she's an overfed, overindulged person who's been a generally negative influence on everything. And now she feels guilty about it. And she doesn't want to go to hell. So like me, she found a need for God due to worldly wants and desires. And with me, I heard the gospel when I was a little kid. My pastor said, Doug, if you'll trust Jesus to forgive your sins, he will. And I said, I'll trust him. I knew I was bad even when I was like 8. I wasn't praying for my mom every night. I was bad. And I knew it. So I asked Jesus to forgive me, but with Gwen, see, the world offered her a religion that she could practice that instead of giving her a legitimate option to escape the condemnation she so richly deserves, that religion gave her a way to satisfy the worldly desires that she was having. That's the Catholic religion. It satisfies our desires to exercise earthly control over our destiny. And it satisfies the lusts of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all those things that are sending us to hell. The Catholic religion satisfies those while almost never saving anyone from actual damnation, which is why I'm convinced. I didn't used to be convinced this way, but I am more convinced now than I ever was that Catholicism and mainline Protestantism that came out of Catholicism are satanic religions. I mean, they're as satanic as Islam. They just don't blow people up and chop their heads off. But they rarely save anyone from damnation. I mean, Islam probably less even than Catholicism or Episcopalianism or whatever. But anyway, so poor Gwen Stefani here, she's doing works before men who tell her that she's doing those works for God. But she's not. She's doing them for them, those men. But they're telling her that she's doing for God, but they're lying to her. Which, that's the definition of Satanism, is to get people to do what you want by lying to them, which is what Satan did in the garden, which, by the way, is why money is the root of all evil. But you'll have to check in with the Bible study on Wednesday to get the down, to get the, what do they call it there? The down low? I don't think you're allowed to say the down low. To get the lowdown, that's what we used to call it. We used to call it the lowdown, now they call it the down low. I don't like the down low. It's made me feel bad just saying that. Meanwhile, we check in with Victor Davis Hanson. Speaking of Satan, Victor David Hanson is not a dumb person. And by the way, I if I'm not mistaken, he claims to be some sort of Christian at some point. Like at least once in the last 50 years that he's been publishing nonstop volumes of drivel on the news of the day. Did I say drivel? I apologize. Highbrow intellectual reviews of the news and events of the day from a conservative perspective. That's how Victor Davis Hanson is perceived by himself. And I'm sure the people in his church who tell him that everything he's doing it for God. I've never heard Victor David Hanson. Is it David Hanson or Davis? Victor Davis Hanson, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have a last name for a middle name. That's not fair. So his mom and dad were obviously mean. Let's give him a middle name that's actually a last name, just to throw other people off. But it'll make people think that he's smart, or maybe even British. Victor Davis Hanson. Sounds English, Victor Davis Hanson. He sounds like a fellow. He sounds like a bloke whose face might be removed from the 10-pound note. Anyway, Victor Davis Hanson, he's, let's see here, until last year, he says, He wrote an article, Our Long War. I'm sorry, not Our Long War. Our Long Road to War with Iran. He says, for 46 years, Iran enjoyed a North Korea-like reputation in the heart of the Middle East, a reputation for invincibility. Always unpredictable, reckless, dangerous, inevitably to be nuclear, self-destructive, and nihilistic. That's pretty good writing. I mean, maybe it's not British, but, you know. So Victor Davis Hanson is not a stupid man, and he knows how to handle the English language. He's a good writer and a smart fellow. But listen to what he writes about the regime in Iran, who he just called unpredictable, reckless, dangerous, self-destructive, and nihilistic. He says, the Iranian regime is medieval. They routinely hang homosexuals, adulterers, and almost anyone who questions the authority of the Ayatollahs. Unquote. Did you get that? Victor Davis Hanson just lumped in sex perverts and criminals with almost anyone who questions the authority of the mullahs. Now, did Victor realize that he was writing for the devil when he wrote that line? I think he did not, which would indicate that Victor Davis Hanson might not be as smart as you think he is. Because he doesn't realize that he just did work for the devil. Yeah, the devil will take that. To have one of the smartest guys in America include homosexuals and adulterers with people who legitimately question the authority of tyrannical regimes, the devil's very happy with that line, Victor. Well done this week in your work for the Prince of Darkness. The prince of the power of the air. The god of this world, Satan. I wrote, what's going on here? Do all sides now work for the devil? So here's the thing, folks. People who legitimately question the authority of a tyrannical, maniacal, suicidal, murderous, criminal gang government like the one in Iran should not be lumped together with criminal perverts like adulterers and homosexuals. That's detrimental to the preservation of civilization and to the saving of souls and to the preaching of the gospel and to the onward progression we're making toward the place where our citizenship actually is, which is not here, thank God. It's in heaven where we will spend the vast majority of our lives. All of you should keep that in mind. But while we're here, we'll continue to try to help you get through it right here at the Weekly Worldview. We will return next time. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.